most hated podcast in Orlando, but the number one in your hearts. This is another edition of the Oh No Radio Show and another edition of Oh No Showcase with Jessica Polly.
Hello.
Yeah, we got Jessica Polly back again to bring us one of Orlando's finest. My name is Owen. I'll be the captain of your shit ship. Along with me is my good friend Zach.
What's going on, Owen?
My good friend Ty.
Yeah.
Tom will be joining us a little bit later. Hopefully, we'll cross our fingers. Like I said, Jessica's here.
Hi, guys.
Yay. Yeah. Welcome back, Jessica. Hey.
And tonight, she has brought with us a very, very special treat. A guy that I think a lot of people here in Orlando will know his name. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Dunn is here, everybody.
Hey. Yeah.
Okay. Welcome, Mike. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah. What do you think of the old shit ship, as they call it?
I think it's pretty amazing. I think we have a nice, just a very nice standard Orlando. And I mean that in the best way possible.
Yeah. I want you to actually describe that a little bit.
In here, it looks like the floor is on the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
It looks like there's a nice wood floor ceiling. And
it's
then what should
classy.
Be on the ceiling, I think we're on like the popcorn stuff that should be on
yeah,
the ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, you
it's
know.
It's upside down. It's like a little like Ripley's Believe It or Not, like, you know, when they make the buildings different there.
Plus, you got, that's very much so. Like maybe the Wonder Works over there on I
Drive. Yeah,
that's the one. Don't bust my balls on this.
You do have the Wonder Works house of Orlando.
I do.
It's upside down.
But no,
I'm
Mike.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you here, and it's even better that you are a local musician. How long have you – are you an Orlando native?
Actually, can I start? Because I don't really love the term – this is not for me to support, but I don't really love the term local musician.
Local.
No, okay.
Well, I don't think that you guys like the term local
musician.
Damn,
you've already offended
them.
You're separating
yourself from
all
the other
musicians.
No, I would
like to hear what you guys think because I don't think that it's not – I think it's great to be like, I'm from here.
Yeah, okay. No, that's better because obviously you've been around, you've toured, you're not local. Like, it's not that you've never branched out beyond Orlando.
Sure.
So I'm not talking
about myself. I'm talking about more of the, like, general.
The general, just
what
everyone.
What do you think, Jessica Polly?
Yeah.
I think that the term local musician can be somewhat inhibiting depending on the person that hears that.
Yeah.
And I think that some people, unfortunately, they hear local musician, and to them, that's like, oh, they're just local.
It's kind of like
that's that band.
And they
write
them off. And that's really short-sighted of those people that think like that. Mm-hmm. However, there are people that think like that. So it's kind of like a double-edged kind of thing. I mean, I think personally, right now is a great time to be an Orlando musician.
Very true.
I think that it should be looked at, and I think it is when you get outside of Orlando and outside of Florida. Yeah. I think people are like, oh, you're from Orlando. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that unfortunately there are people living here that sometimes think of local music as like underneath, like a touring act.
It's kind of like when you go to like your high school's 10-year reunion and someone asks you, how's your little band doing? Like the term little
exactly.
band?
Exactly.
You know, sure. How's your little band?
Exactly.
Be like, little band?
Little
we're a medium-sized band.
So you're in a local band.
Yeah, exactly.
Local you're in band. A local band. And it's like
local dude in a local band.
You could argue, though, local, to me, local just means you're from here.
That's
you know,
true.
Like a local artist.
It is
you're
a literal definition of
okay.
Area.
How about
okay.
that? How about the term
okay, well,
homegrown? Homegrown.
Bruce Springsteen.
Local musician. Hey, I'm in New Jersey. Bruce Please. Springsteen's a local band.
Please welcome right. local musician Bruce Springsteen. Yes.
No. Okay. Do you like that term? Like I said, homegrown anymore?
That's cool.
Like
that's a cool tune.
And speaking of which, have you lived here your whole life? Like what is the genesis of Mike Dunn?
Like I feel like you've made a very natural transition into the biography part of it.
That's kind of what I do.
I'm really interested. I'm actually very interested in this because I've known you for quite a long time, Mike, and I don't know your background.
I've always liked you too. You're a lovely person. I remember.
She really is.
Yes. So I mean, there's still time. I could not like you.
I'm sure I can fuck it up somehow.
So I grew up in St. Pete, just two
oh,
hours
okay.
away.
Yeah.
And I moved here for college. We were talking a little bit beforehand, you know, about like the music scene back then. I moved here in 2001.
Okay.
And yeah, it was interesting. There was an emo pop punk,
oh, yeah.
Like punk, ska, yeah. Things still going on.
That was what was going on when I was in high school. And I think I'm a few years younger than you. No offense. No.
He looks way older than
you. Yeah. I'm fucking ragged. You know how I am. But yeah, going through high school and coming to Orlando, it was a lot of I grew up a lot in the Lakeland scene and also of like going to Tampa and stuff, and there was a lot of that pop punky emo stuff.
Yeah.
The sort of
Lillian's there we used to play.
Lillian's. Yeah. I know Lillian's. There was also a great little coffee shop called Dirt Star Coffee. I'm just going to throw this out there. Do you ever heard of a guy and a band called the Crayons?
Yeah.
The Crayons. All right. Yeah. Well, that's.
Yeah, we play with them in St. Pete, actually.
Exactly. They were sort of from that area.
Cool.
And they were really good, actually. They migrated to, the Lakeland scene, and they were slightly different. They were what I related to. It's more of
indie.
It was more of indie, little garage rocky, less. Sort of screamo. What's that band? Taking Back Sunday. Everybody wanted to be Taking Back Sunday at a certain point.
Yelling, lots of yelling,
screaming, and super ridiculous vocals and what have you. But okay, so you came from St. Pete. You moved to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
What was it then that you got you to stick here?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I thought about moving a bunch of times for sure, and I think kind of having a break between being here and it starts to feel stale, you go tour for a bit and you enjoy that for a while. But, you know, I think I've been through a couple waves of things being on the up and down in Orlando now, and it's in an awesome place now. It's really enjoyable.
Feels good.
Yeah. It's
I dig it.
I've actually had a couple friends, like when I go on tour, you do get that question of where are you from? And when you say Orlando, the thing is usually
boy bands
Seven
Dust
I'm just like off, like Disney, it takes me like 45 minutes to get to Disney, you know,
it's not
number
what our city
one
is.
Local attraction,
right
so yeah, we don't live there, you know. and also there's just a really cool scene here, so I've had a couple friends that come to visit, and if you spend like 3 or 4 nights here, you're like, oh, I get it. It's cool.
Yeah, exactly. So there's more
going
on. You
spend that time, man.
My favorite thing on tour was talking to people about Orlando and telling them about the food scene.
Oh, yeah.
And like the music scene and the Mills District and the art scene. And every conversation, they're like, wow, I did not know that. I have to go back to Orlando.
What? Orlando has a downtown? What? It's an actual
culture
city?
Yeah, there's great stuff here.
I don't know how much
culture we're still growing, and we're still definitely growing in that regard. But do you think, from what you've experienced, are we now in the best place that Orlando's been since you've seen it?
Not for me personally, but for everyone else, it's going really well.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. I remember when we first started. When my band first started playing, we were...
Which was Mike Dunn and the Kings of New England, correct?
Yeah, very long band name, but it's
but I like it. Banging. I like it.
And it like right around 2006, 2007, there was a nice little bubbly thing there. And I feel that good stuff happening now, too. So
nice, cool. Nice. Yeah. Speaking of which, is that band still a thing, or are you completely solo at
the
moment?
No, that's a good question. The band was always... There were always awesome dudes in the band, but I counted them up, and... By the end of it, there was about 20 plus people that came
like
through.
Rotating cast of characters type.
Yeah, it was one of those, and
so it's like the radio show.
Right. And I mean, I've always had like some really key dudes in my musical world. My guitarist CJ has been with me since the beginning. We had like the same producer Luis DiFabrizio, who was in this band, The Kick.
Gasoline Heart. Yeah.
Really great, and like. He, you know, so I've had lots of the same people kind of in that group, you know, but it was when I made the first record, I just wanted to be in a band. I think being in a band is an awesome thing.
Is it just to pick up chicks, or is that it more than that?
That's never worked out for me, like whatever I'm doing. But the it's more like just the gang mentality.
Right.
Like, I mean, I just love that feeling of, you know,
being part of a crew.
Yeah, the Sharks and the Jets stuff, you know.
Totally.
Yeah, I just want to snap fingers while I fight.
No, I love it. I love it.
This is your band.
Yeah, exactly. It's my band. Don't mess with us. This is
so,
my band.
So at the moment, are you more or less just playing solo gigs? Or
it's a good mix. We play full band when we can for sure. And we've done a couple tours with the band as well.
But not as Mike Dunn and the Kings of New England.
No, we don't play under that name anymore. Yeah. Now it's kind of – we're using Mike Dunn and the Company as the live band. And
ooh, I like that.
We're making it very business-oriented. We're here to make money. We don't care about art at all.
Oh, no, definitely not. I could tell you're –
gone corporate.
You're shrewd.
Yeah, totally.
Like, he asked me for a check before he would even come in the room today.
Exactly. You can sell out if you start – as a sellout.
I like that.
It's just my philosophy.
You did just release an album, though. Like, did. This, what, 2 weeks ago or something? Like, it's
ridiculous. We just got the vinyl for it. So it's ooh. Been, ooh. It was a long process to get vinyl made, man.
I wanted to talk a bit about that because it seems like you're doing a bit of an interesting business model with it all, because I was able to go online and get your, as I'm doing show research, Jessica tells me who's coming in. I was able to go on your website and basically download the whole thing for free.
It's there for free.
It is there for free, which is amazing. So you're relying on, I'm guessing, the sales of merch and then the selling of the actual pressing of the vinyl to kind of balance out those.
Well, you've
those
also
recording
got your other endeavors.
I'm relying on a tune in my heart and a sparkle in my eye to get by. Yeah.
What was that decision like, though, to kind of decide to hop on releasing an album for free, essentially?
Oh, right. Well, I think whenever you're doing something artistic that is artistic and commercial at the same time, your target demographic is yourself. Like, you just make things the way you would want them. Right? So it's just like, if you want, what kind of shirt would you wear? That's your shirt now.
Exactly.
Like, don't make this, like, it's cool to have a brand or a business or anything like that, whatever you want to call it. But ultimately, your audience is people exactly like you.
If you can't wear it.
But you're marketing to this day and age, in all honesty, if you're marketing to yourself, and you sound like you're marketing to me, which myself would be, I listen to a ton of stuff. I don't get it all legally.
What?
And, you know, I'm sure somebody in here is guilty also.
Yeah. But well, of course we all are.
I support everything I like, and I'm a vinyl buyer.
Yeah.
That's my market. If I buy something physical, it's almost always.
If you download something for free and you love it and they have a vinyl pressing, you're going to go buy it.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like now it's also a matter of being able to get people to listen to then get them out to see you live.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
So by having the music available, even if you don't have the full album, at least you have like the first few tracks or something available to stream and maybe even to download. I think that's important because now a lot of people, there's so many options.
Yeah.
And there's so much out there.
Yeah.
So if you want to get people out to your shows, I think it's important to make sure that you have something that people can listen and get familiar. And
it's almost a promotional tool at that point.
It really is. You know, I mean, you still want to make some money off your recording. I mean,
without a doubt.
Process is lengthy and expensive. So you want to sell the albums, but you need to make sure that it's getting out there so that it can reach new fans, it can get new fans, and you can get them out to see you live.
Speaking of the process being lengthy, though,
yeah.
I imagine it must double when you get into the vinyl stage of things. Because
it takes a long time to make vinyl.
Actually. Yeah. Get right up on
that. Do you
that,
know
Mike,
why it takes a long time to make vinyl?
Because everyone's making vinyl.
Is it really that way now?
And what?
And there
is it
are...
Jack White?
There
it's
are
all Jack
very,
White's fault.
It is.
There aren't very many vinyl presses.
Right.
There are not as many places to do it. The equipment isn't available. They're actually just now starting to
remanufacture
presses.
Yeah.
But it fell off for so long that now that it's come back, the actual manufacturing of it can't keep up with the demand.
Right. I think ours actually got pressed in Germany somewhere.
Weird. That actually makes sense.
It was faster.
Studer, right? Tape machines all came from there, so...
Totally. It was faster for it to be done, like ship overseas, back here, That was a faster process. So.
What about the mastering that mm-hmm. goes into that? The mixing and mastering.
Do you
sit down and think of how do you even sit down and think about
right.
how is this going to sound on a CD versus a you know an LP at the end of the day? Because
yeah.
it's not like you can really hear that before hearing it when the final product
Am
comes.
Am I wrong
right?
in saying if you master it awesome for a vinyl, it's going to sound good on any other medium?
It should.
Am I wrong
it
in
should.
That?
No, you're not wrong.
Well, honestly, I don't know enough about that. But we had a separate master for our vinyl, and there were things I heard in the vinyl that I didn't hear on the CD that was like really cool. But
like little harmonics,
yeah,
and things
little
like
harmonics,
that.
And like, but on, I don't. I think some of the vinyl thing is like, first off, it's just a cooler thing to have. You see the artwork, you know, whatever,
sure.
bigger.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
fun
yeah.
to hold, but you know. For the most part, I have a decent vinyl setup, but like you need to spend a lot of money to have
to
like
have
the crazy,
some, yeah, exactly.
you know, audiophile kind of thing, and I don't
right,
have that. So,
right,
whatever.
Right,
yeah,
you have it.
I'm looking at
no,
you.
No, I want to listen to my record on your setup.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. You are more than welcome.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, well, I'll hang out at Ty's sometime and actually cool. and
if,
actually
if
do
somebody
that.
Somebody wants still... to know how their vinyl really
yeah.
sounds. You go to that.
Nice,
come
yeah.
hang out.
Nice.
It's I'm still. I feel like because I am an audiophile, I'm in the very beginning stages of my audiophileness because
what's your preamp?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Like I haven't invested in my Macintosh huge preamp.
Oh yeah, there
yet.
You go. You got to have like glowing tubes.
Exactly. You
need yeah. yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
I don't if even don't... care if they do anything. I just want glowing.
I just
want,
exactly.
It looks
exactly.
Cool.
They
I
do
know,
something.
Really cool.
I
just want to put Edison bulbs on top of my, you know, Bose little thing.
That's why I'm saying I'm still beginning. Yeah. But at the same time, I do love my turntable. Oh, it sounds awesome. Great.
And you got like a vintage setup.
Yeah,
too,
mine's more solid state. It's not tube. It's not vacuum or anything.
Yours is
but,
terrible, sir.
But
go
mine is kind of fucked right now.
There was a while on the show that we did just all the music between our breaks
yep.
and shit was all vinyl.
Yeah,
and that didn't last long.
I used to bring a lot of vinyl over here, and I'm just sad that I don't get.
That's
to
fun.
Yeah.
I like bars that play vinyl. There's this one bar in Chicago called Big Star, also one of my favorite bands. But like, it's a little like margarita. Bar, you know, and but they only play vinyl.
They have a
like
turntable,
and it's all the bartenders like just switch off.
Very
and,
cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, it used to be the way I would get work done because I have like my brain doesn't focus very well, but I can focus for like 20 minutes at a time.
I know exactly what you mean.
Which is,
cheers.
Yeah, exact cheers. So I would put on like one side of a record is usually like 15 to 20 minutes. And that would be the way I could like focus. Is
totally. Because
like,
it's just enough time. It's the right yeah. amount of time to focus on doing stuff and what
exactly.
have you. Speaking of which, though, you say you're like that. What was the process then? You said I've read some stuff about you in your biographies mm-hmm. that you went for this particular album. You booked a cabin and you
yeah.
And you what did you do? You went out into the middle of nowhere and
you
just kind of.
It
just wrote or how
yeah,
did that
I
work?
Mean it sounds like nicer than it is actually. It's
right.
like a cabin can be like in a trailer park. Like, you know, it's
that's
not
true.
It's not necessarily and it kind of was. It
can
was,
you
it
say
was,
where you were?
If, yeah, it was just north of Tallahassee actually.
Oh, okay.
So it was like
okay.
South Georgia. So it was yeah, I booked a cabin for a week. I was not in like, you know, a great place, honestly. Personally, relationship, all that stuff. And it was an excuse to kind of get away. I also had to burn vacation time kind of thing. So I was like, I should do something creative with this and book
make it
cabin.
Count.
Yeah, make it count.
Yes. Yeah.
So booked a cabin and it had been a while between my second record and this new one. And
about 3 years?
Yeah,
right?
yeah. And I was just ready to make another record. So that was the kickstart to the record.
No, it sounds really cool. I mean, I have tons of like as a musician,
I'm jealous. Yeah.
Like myself deep down in my heart, even though I haven't picked up a guitar in like 4 years,
right.
but I still feel like I relate to him, you know,
oh, yeah.
the musician's mentality.
It's all there.
It's all there. It just, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's about you, Mike. I have trouble like, were you able to like finish like in your head? Were you done with that album by the
yeah,
time
yeah.
when you left that cabin or?
No,
or did
it
still
I mean,
it grow
like,
after the fact?
I don't think I would recommend it to everyone. Like
okay.
in a creative process, I think you really like you definitely need to have a lot of trust in yourself to that something worthwhile is going to come out, because if you don't, you're going to beat up on yourself the whole time. And
yeah,
just like,
did you take
off,
a recorder with you too, and just kind of like?
I had actually like a little studio in there.
Yeah,
I had, like, I brought, you know, keyboard, guitar, like a little, you know, Logic setup, and you know, I did some demos, you know, but mainly like the first part of the day, I would, you know, go drive 20 miles to the nearest Starbucks, which was like 20 miles away. It's a nice drive out, and I was trying to listen to records I really loved at the time as well. And then I would come back and I would try my hardest to write a song, and I wound up with about just one song a day. I would probably write between like 11 a.m. and, you know, 6 p.m. and then cook a steak and then try to make a demo out of that song.
At
know?
What point does the whiskey or the beer come in? Does it ever?
The whole time.
Early. The whole time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a whole lot of that. Yeah.
Do you ever forget to cook your steak and you get you get drunk on your an empty stomach and write a song and you think it's the shit?
Yeah.
And then the next day you listen to it and it's just complete garbage. Does that ever happen?
There's usually like something salvageable like with them. Even I've wrote shitty songs for sure. But like there's usually like one, like I'll keep that bridge, or I'll keep like
that harmony or that melody line.
Yeah, there was
or
like something
right?
that made you start going down that path.
Oh,
and
cool.
like maybe you took a wrong turn, but like your something was cool there, you know.
With your previous band though, you mentioned touring.
Mm-hmm.
Was that ever a chore? Was that ever, I mean, describe to us, like, because that's something I would, I think I'm too old for it now. I'm married. I'm never going to be in a band
Come
on tour.
You barely leave.
Yeah,
but people much, much older.
Yeah, but still.
And very handsome. I've been inspired by some of the old musicians I've toured with.
That's true, too. But
they seem much younger than me. So.
Did you get ever tired of being on the road, or
I'm tired already. I'm supposed to like I'm tired right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm tired
all
the time.
That's part of it. That's dances.
No, I think you just keep doing it. No, I'm going out on a run like this Sunday and I'm just like looking at the dates and I can't like wrap my head around it. But it's gonna be fun. Like the cool thing about the touring is it's like blinders. It narrows your view. So you really only focus on what's in front of you and you don't focus on anything else. And as I'm cool with that, because you can kind of, you're like, if I do today really well, then it's good, you know.
See, still
when I get back home,
still
I'm
enjoy
like,
it.
What
though.
Am I doing? Yeah.
You do still enjoy that tour like lifestyle.
Oh,
or
I love it.
That just the vagabond thing. Or
yeah,
the,
I mean it's wild because you know I do a bunch of different things, photography, videography, all that stuff, and you can't go book a studio to replicate like. What you're actually going to see out there in the wild, and I think,
or who you're going to meet,
or who you're going to meet, absolutely,
or just where you're going to end up, where the day is going to take you.
Yeah,
like
right.
You might wake up and not, you know where you have to go,
mm-hmm.
you know the show that you have to get to.
Yeah,
but in the meantime, on the way there, you might take a left turn to go check something out.
Yeah,
and like just have this crazy experience that you didn't know you were going to have.
Absolutely. I'm trying to like actually book tours that way now, where my biggest complaint about tour is just like the little amount of time that you're actually there to go experience it. So I'm trying to book tours where I go hang out.
Yeah.
Right. Get
there. I think that's really
experience
important.
Experience the city.
Yeah.
More than
you know,
a hotel
and I was
venue.
Lucky in that respect because I went out with him for her.
Yeah.
And like I've told people, it was sort of like at times because we had some days where we had to drive like 16 hours to get someplace, like a brutal schedule for a few days in a row. But then we'd have like massive amounts of time off, or so it was almost like being on like this rock and roll tour and then also being on like somebody else's family vacation.
But that's also probably why so many artists or bands get into trouble, because there is those big gaps of time between gigs to do drugs or to drink.
Well,
or to,
like a lot of times most tours are not like that.
No,
they're like boom, 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 boom. And you don't get to see anything. Like a lot of people, you know, oh, you went on tour to Europe. So did you go here? Did you go there? Did you go?
No, I saw the inside of a bar.
And then another bar and another bar and another bar. So I think it's important because you're actually, you know, out there. So you should experience some of that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. The one time I really got to enjoy that was we had I played with this band called the Damwells. That it was a really cool experience because they were and are like one of my favorite bands before I joined the band, basically. I'm good for now. And we had a run from California, or it started in Portland and then went all the way down to San Diego. And we needed to drive from LA to Portland. Honestly, the best part
of the tour. That's a hell of a journey, too.
Oh, it was a 3-day drive. But it honestly was the best part of touring because, yeah, we took the coastal the whole way.
Oh, yeah, that's such a beautiful
road.
And
we stopped when we slept. Here's a touring tip for you if you have good willpower. Is the best places to stay, especially in California, are casinos. So, like, they're usually, like, really great, like, nice hotels you would get for, like, $60-$70 because – hey, they're counting on you, like,
yeah, spending money.
Casino,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
And I did, for sure.
Yeah.
Just to make them happy, you know? So we toured through, like, California and stayed at casinos and watched, like, minor league baseball games during the day. And, like, it was rad, yeah.
Nice.
Love that stuff.
Where are you going on this jaunt? You said you were going out this weekend?
Yeah, this one starts in Atlanta, goes to New York for a couple days. And then I think I fly out of, like, Oklahoma.
No,
like
shit.
Somewhere, yeah.
How many dates? Wow. Like how many?
There's like 14
shows
something. It's like 2
weeks.
Wow, so yeah.
That's a very respectable nice. Tour, man. Yeah. That's a very respectable tour. That's awesome.
And where all do you go? Do you go to the West Coast?
No West Coast on this one. I love
so
the
it's
West
like
Coast.
East Coast,
yeah,
sort of
East Coast to the Midwest, basically.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
It's like a little
and really like the. It all kind of kicks off like Saturday night. You have a show,
it sure does.
And then Sunday, you're flying out and doing
Sunday
the tour.
I'm flying out and doing the tour. Yeah, Saturday we are at Will's Pub.
Woo.
Full band.
Woo-woo. Yeah, full
nice.
Band.
Nice. I did
band.
Not know that.
I'm bringing the band with me on a really great bill. There are a lot of friends on this bill.
You're talking 2 days from now, or like
2 days?
Yeah. Okay.
Saturday night.
Go out, support
just
Mike.
Put it
and
on
Will's.
Your calendar right now, because
Mike Dunn
it'll be a great
and
show.
Company.
But my friend Matt Hires is releasing a new record. His he's always done great stuff. He's coming to town from Nashville, but he's originally from Tampa. So nice. And we've been playing together for years, actually. And my friend Corey Quintard has a band called Volunteer that's really. Pretty awesome too, and they're playing on Saturday as well. And there's a new opener. It's near Pennsylvania.
Yeah, who is near Pennsylvania?
I don't know. I've heard good things about them though.
We'll find out on Saturday.
Yeah.
We'll find out on Saturday.
I certainly will. I'm gonna
come
be
watch
there.
Them with me. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll try and make it down like we always do. At least we try and at least throw one of us to the shows that we go
to.
We've been slacking
except,
with that a little
except,
bit.
Except.
Last
and
night.
Here's where we're going to get into it. I'm really glad that this is a podcast and I can cuss because you guys fucked up last night.
I know
you guys fucked up big. We played.
Jessica and I did not.
No, Mike and I were there taking pictures.
We
killing
it. Taking pictures
killing
of us
it.
Taking pictures.
Yeah.
Like we played Bird Cloud on this show
we
like
did.
Two
we
and
did.
A half months ago,
yeah, we
3
did.
Months
yeah.
ago. And they loved the fact that we were playing Bird Cloud.
Yeah.
They liked it. They retweeted it.
They
were
the
like,
whole
Oh
thing.
No Radio
they
Show. And no one from Oh No Radio Show. And we sat here in this very room talking about how great it would be to get them to
get
come to Orlando.
Get an interview
with
them.
I have no excuse. I have no
and
excuse.
I sent an email to their agent. And then got back, they're playing the social. The show's going to be announced next week. And they opened for Wheeler Walker Jr. last night at the social and stole the show.
They did take it.
I've heard really, really good things. Again, Bird Cloud.
See it all over.
Check them out.
About.
Yeah.
They had a moment where, and it inspired me in so many ways. But they, what I really appreciated, two things I'll note, just to share. It'll never
Please.
Match how good it was. But they brought a fog machine with them, and it's a two-piece, like, female acoustic band, you know? And they're amazing. Just look them up, Bird Cloud. And so it was just awesome to see her, like, literally, like, reach down and turn on the fog machine, like, in the middle
like
of the show.
Little like this little teeny fog machine that they had at the front of the stage.
Yeah. That's so cute.
And then she did, like, this, like, witch move, like, just crazy,
yeah,
like, Hail Satan
I have a
move.
Shot of that. You have a shot
oh,
of
it's
that.
Beautiful.
I bet your shot's better
yeah,
than my
so
shot.
Look at the shots will be up on
I've
Facebook
seen
tomorrow,
some of the
so.
Shots. Mike was kind enough to share some of them before the show.
And you realize how badly you fucked up.
I do. I very much
I think one of the best things for me at any show, really, but then at a show where I know like the band well enough, like musically and what to expect from them live, one of my favorite things to do is watch the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
And I know see that the majority of that crowd last night was not there to see Bird Cloud.
Right.
And yet they were enthralled.
They were buying awesome. That album when yeah. they walked
they
out.
They were, awesome. Like, yeah. the expressions on people's faces and the way they reacted to every little move and yeah. and didn't care that they just had beer spit all over them. Like, I didn't great. Care. Yeah. Like, okay, no, she just spit not. Beer all over me.
Made it a cooler show.
Did they
called for somebody to buy them a beer, and the next thing you know, they had, like, a 12-pack on the stage.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
It was an interesting crowd, too, because it was like, you know, it was kind of the same as Wheeler Walker's music, where you're like, is this a joke or not kind of thing.
It's kind of like
cause it's good.
A country
it's,
character.
It's, yeah, country character, but he's like, he's great. But the crowd was kind of like that too, where I'm like, I didn't quite understand the crowd.
Well, the cool thing about Wheeler Walker Jr. is that, you know, he's a comedian,
right?
He's a stand-up comedian, and he's had his show on Comedy Central.
I had no idea.
And without telling anyone that what he was doing. Right. He recorded this country album.
And it's legitimately good.
And
though.
It is. It yeah. is legitimately good. It's a little more polished of country sure. music than I prefer.
Yeah.
It's more personally,
Stapleton-y.
Like, yeah.
It should have been a little more outlaw country or...
It's outlaw country lyrics
outlaw, sure.
with a yeah. pop country band.
Oh, gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Like, yeah, it's got a little bit of that. It's got some sheen to it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's a polished sounding
product. It needed to be dirtier
product,
to you. Yeah, yeah.
But the lyrics... sound like an outlaw country band.
I think
band.
He's like, he probably, I feel like it probably started as a joke, and it's become more serious,
it's like, dude, you're actually good. Like,
well, he didn't tell anybody as yeah. a comedian that he was doing this,
right.
and nobody knew that that was his moniker, nobody knew that that was him,
yeah.
and then he released it, and it like beat brilliant. Out Wynonna Judd's album on the charts,
yeah.
and it went, and then everybody's like, who the hell is yeah. this?
That's awesome. That's
it's just confusing, though, because I'm like, you know, I think, but it's also brilliant. Is like when it's
yes.
When it's in between that level of like, is this a joke? Is it serious?
But he's still a comedian, and yeah. I think the difference is, Bird Cloud, they're not comedians.
No,
they're actually
right.
very serious about what they're doing.
Yeah.
We got to talk for a while last night afterwards, uh-huh. and we bonded.
I'm jealous.
We,
I'm so jealous.
We had some hugs and kisses.
So
I haven't,
it'll happen sooner.
I haven't washed my face since. The thing is, like, what Jasmine was telling me afterwards, she's like, we are laughed at in our city. She's like,
Where are they from?
They're from Nashville.
Okay.
And she's like, the women in country music in Nashville hate us. She said, we have trouble playing shows in Nashville because venues won't book us because we've been blacklisted. We can't sell our music in local music stores because we have been outed because we're doing what we're doing. And I said, look, I get that this is coming across as a joke to some people, but what you're singing about and the things that you're saying are actually very relevant issues.
Yeah.
And I think that it's important.
I like black guys.
Well, and that song, you know, when they sang it last night, she after like at the end, they're like, look, if you don't agree with this, then you're a racist piece of shit.
Yeah.
And she's like, really, it's all about everyone and accepting everyone.
Totally.
And yes, it's a sexual song about fucking every kind of color guy out there.
And of course they know that
really
there's satire in their act. They
know
that
know
there's
that,
a bit of a comedy aspect.
The songs have intense
relevance.
Messages that are very, very relevant
at
to
the
right
core
now.
Of it, yeah.
And I think it's very important for people to make music like that
yeah.
and continue to make music like that. And it's really sad that they're not being embraced in Nashville, this huge capital of music. But you know what? I'm like, fuck those people.
Yeah, for
you
their type of music,
it.
Too.
You
gotta
know?
Throw your own party.
Keep doing it. Keep saying what you have to say and reaching the people that you have to say, you know, that need to hear it elsewhere, because you are reaching these people. And if the industry people in Nashville don't like it, well, fuck them.
Fuck them. Ridiculous question.
There are plenty of people that do.
I do want to.
What if Weird Al did a political album? Come on. What if it happened?
I take every Weird Al politically.
Politically, yes. from the moment of Eat It, it has always been. I mean, that's a song clearly about the America's obesity epidemic.
Yeah.
I mean, he was ahead of its time. Yeah.
So I actually was going to go see Weird Al like in a couple of weeks, and I still might go. Weird Al is doing a live commentary to the great film UHF.
Really?
So like they're playing UHF. It's in DC.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's like near Halloween. I'm kind of thinking about like just treating myself
to go do that.
Mm-hmm. Treat yourself.
Yeah, I want to treat myself.
But Max Sabbath.
I did want to highlight on something because you were there, you know, not only to see Bird Cloud, but to take you know, some pictures, you know, professionally.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell did you get into that then? You know, like coming from your musical background, now you've gotten into not only photography, but directing music videos and videographing. And, how do you see that sort of like blending with what you already do? The sort of Americana aesthetic that you already hold. Do the two kind of like run together? Like, is there a...
For me, they do like really closely. I know it's like sometimes it's weird talking to people about it, and I've even had like some close friends that have a weird reaction to it sometimes, where it's like well, who do you kind of a who do you think you are kind of thing, you know?
Fuck that, man.
And I, like, well, that kind of thing. But I think whenever you try something creative, I think the way I explained it to a friend today was like it's kind of like learning to speak a new language. If you're getting into audio engineering or writing a song or taking a picture or whatever, it's like learning a new language, and anyone can learn a language, but you have to, you know, really bring out something to write poetry in a language, you know?
Absolutely.
So the biggest part is like just developing yourself as an artist. And then, you know, I think that the technical side, you can approach however you want.
And that stuff, you know? That's the sort of stuff that will grow over time that you can learn, like the aesthetic and the creative drive that you obviously have, and the creativity part is the stuff you can't teach, and that's that's what I see in sort of the work that you've done. Like I know you directed Shaboom's video, it's a really fun. It's a really cool video for a really great song, but you wouldn't, no offense, you wouldn't guess that was directed by you know, like that's it's not completely in line at all. That's a Mike Dunn, like project or what have you. Like it seems like you've thrown aspects. You've definitely been true to that band, the Shabooms.
Right.
But I think I'm trying to find the words for this. You've found ways to be true to yourself while also respecting the job that you're doing. I think is, I'm sorry if I'm not.
Get that. I could talk about that a ton, actually, because I think it does like touch on a bunch of things in the artistic thinking of yourself artistically. You know, naturally, that sounds really pretentious if you're like, I'm an artist, right?
Right.
That statement is fucking
by itself is pretentious.
Yeah,
yes.
But it's like you, along with that, it tends to come up a lot of ego with people. And I think if you're serving, especially if you're working with someone else, you know, your process is to be collaborative, to serve them, and to add what you can to what they do, you know. So if I work with another band, that's all I'm looking to do. I just did a video for
it's
Panther
not a
Camp.
Very that is
dude. I was playing some Panther Camp earlier on when we were outside as we were warming up for the show. So that's
fun. They had this awesome release show.
I can't wait to see that, by the way, because I like those guys.
It was great. I love the video. It was cheap beer and pizza was like their vibe, right?
Yeah, it's so kind of like us.
I was like, that needs to be your music video. It's cheap beer and pizza and punk rock, you know. Like, I think when people approach these things, we have such an idea of what a music video is, where people have seen a million car commercials. And car commercials are beautiful, and they can be shot with, like, this beautiful 8K drone, but they're just really boring to me, you know? And I'm not as concerned with that. I'm concerned with, like, concept and attitude and, you know, making something cool out of it.
Right on, dude. Do you want to maybe like strip things down and play a couple tunes for us?
I need to take my clothes off now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that time of the show.
Yes.
Can I be so bold as
I'll
to ask you
to pull out
your guitar? That'd be awesome. Mike's gonna play a couple tunes for us, which I cannot wait to hear.
Mute my thing for a second.
Yeah, mute your thing. I can mute your thing here.
Mute my thing.
You're muted. In the meantime, I will say that we will be doing a regular Ono radio show coming up after this Ono showcase. So stick around. Maybe Tom Borilli will grace us with his presence.
He should be showing up, right?
Are you able to swing that mic around for his guitar there, Ty?
Oh, yeah.
Watch out. The cable might have landed on there. We'll figure it out here. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, that's getting close.
We're guerrilla style here.
I love it. No, it's great.
That's how we roll over here.
Perfect. That works for me.
Orlando's finest. All right. There we go. That is a lovely Guild guitar you have there, sir.
Thank you.
I love Guilds. They're warm as hell, aren't they?
This is a song called If You Want to Stay, and we're actually releasing a video for it pretty soon. I need to film the last bit of it this Saturday at Will's Pub.
Well, speaking of
You're going to play and film at the same time?
I thought about, like, Will's Pub has these great arcade machines, you know, in there. And I thought it'd be rad if I was just, like, singing, like, passionately while playing Galaga. So, that's going to be.
That could be cool.
Nice.
That's the idea. That sounds
so
cool.
Here we go.
All right, Ty, you already sit there? Give Ty 2 seconds, Mike.
Sure.
Here I am, what were you expecting? Do I seem like a bad impression of someone that you used to know? It didn't seem that long ago. What am I, your latest bad idea? Just a good luck panacea. You used to say you loved me so. Now tell me why you gotta go. So if you wanna stay, I could get you right, my love. Whoa, don't you run away. We could get it right, my love. I'm afraid it's just the same old story. If I sing it, would it sound less boring? God, I feel like such a crook, but I just can't return this book. All I got is this sad obsession that you are my only obsession. And I'm trying to repay my debts, but you know that I ain't finished yet. So if you wanna stay, I could get it right, my love. Oh, don't you run away, we could get it right, my love. Oh, I'll ride my love. Oh, I'll ride my love. We all know there's no turning back. We've been running down a one-way track. And love is just a winding road, and I don't want to walk alone. So if you want to stay, I could get it right, my love. Whoa, don't you run away, I could get it right, my love. Oh, all right, my love. Am I right, my love?
Hell yeah! That's a really nice
song.
Yeah. I like that song a lot. What was that? What was the name of that tune again?
That song is called "If You Wanna Stay."
Is that on the album?
It is on the
album.
It was on the first. It's on the B-side.
So that was written in the cabin?
That was written in the
cabin,
actually.
Right on. I dig it.
That's a really, really good tune.
And the answer to that song was no.
Was no, exactly.
Can't get it right. Not gonna get it right.
No.
One of the things before if we are going to be graced with a second song, sure, which I hope we are,
sure,
one of the things I do want to ask before that is, mm-hmm, you talked about definitely like going on tour. You've played a million gigs in your life.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best and what's the worst gig that you've ever had?
Those are great questions. The best was our first show in New York City. We actually, this band I joined, the Damwells, on the last tour, they actually asked us to open up for them on an earlier tour. So they're kind of like our big brother band, you know? So it was kind of like your big brother being like, hey, man, you're doing a really great job and, you know, come do this thing. And it just, I remember that
throwing
time,
you a bone type of thing. Yeah.
At the time it was just, you know, all my credit cards were maxed and I had like no money and we're like, we need to do this, you know? And we were busted, but, we made it up there and I actually needed to get back to work, you know, like a day after, and we drove through the night, but we didn't mind at all because it was just, you know, we got to play Manhattan with one of our favorite bands. So that was definitely a best one. Worst?
Manhattan,
you know,
too. Well, yeah. Where in Manhattan?
It was Lower East Side, like near Houston.
We wouldn't know the name.
Mercury Lounge?
I love the Mercury.
Yeah. Fucking Mercury Lounge.
Yeah. It's a great room.
That's awesome. Great room. That's legendary.
I got to see Thomas Wynn and the Believers play there.
Oh, yeah.
And
wonderful.
I got to see Kaylee Baker play there.
Oh, really?
That's awesome.
I love both of those folks. Yeah. And then the worst... It's hard to say worse because, like, they usually, even when they're terrible, they turn into something awesome.
You make it into something.
No, they turn into a story.
Right.
It's never good at this time. But the best was, or the worst was, we were at an Irish pub in Lake Worth, Florida, and my good friend Jacob Kaplan, who's one of my best buddies in the world, was playing bass with us.
Nachos.
Yeah, nachos. And he likes whiskey. Like many of us do, and he drank a whole lot of it, and then he got up to play bass, and he just played one note the whole show, that note was not in any of the keys that we played in either, so it was just kind of amazing. So we kind of got kicked out of the band like during the show, and then I was like, I'm just gonna play bass, like you go sit down, and there was also. You know, it was one of those like beach towns, so like beach people are just weird in general.
They are.
Oh yeah.
You know, we're in a very specific type of weird too. Like this type of weird. Like they find subgenres of weird to be part of.
I can relate totally. Yeah. Yep.
So there was a lot of that going on. So that would be the worst one.
Cool. Yeah. Oh well, thank you very much,
Jacob, though, for that experience and that story.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's always a king of New England in my heart.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
You got a second tune you want to play for us, bud?
Yeah. This one's called Long Way to Go.
I never wanted much, but a woman like you. Little healing touch, enough to get me through. I was hard to love, some days I didn't know how. A little blood's in every cut, feels like we're drowning now. You know the best things don't come easy. There ain't no rush, baby, take it slow. Shake off the dust if you're coming with me. We still got a long way to go. So dance with me, my darling. Let's drink some Mexican wine. Pass out in the garden, the field, and dream of better times. When I wake, I pray you're still there, like an angel with bloodshot eyes. There ain't no cure for a broken heart. Sit back, enjoy the ride. You know the best things don't come easy. There ain't no rush, baby, take it slow. Shake off the dust if you're coming with me. We still got a long way to go. We still got a long way to go. Best cars are gonna break down. nothing gold's gonna stay. We're still burning, keep the engine turning. Oh, we still got a long way. You know the best things don't come easy. There ain't no rush, baby, take it slow. Shake off the dust if you're coming with me. We still got a long way to go. Oh, we still got a long way to go.
Awesome. Yeah. Wow. I've got people texting me, telling me this guy is kicking my ass right now.
This guy's all right by me. Now,
thanks, buddy.
One of those things that is the stereotypical when you have an artist on a radio show or do an interview, I'm surprised we haven't asked this already. It's usually the boring, what are the musical influences, blah, 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 blah. Sure. I heard, and I'm just throwing this out here, I want to hear your musical influences, but I'm just... I'm hearing some Tom Petty in you.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. I mean, there may be some Dylan in there as well at times.
Yeah.
Am I sort of on the right track?
Yeah, you're on the right track.
Yeah, yeah. What else you got buried back in there?
I love Big Star. I think, you know, honestly, I would say the way I got into, at least the music I play, like my wheelhouse, you know, the first bands I really loved were The Wallflowers and County Crows, and they're still among those, but from them I got into The Clash, and I got into Warren Zevon, and I got into The Band,
nice.
And I got
about The Replacements. I can see some Paul in you, some Westbury for sure.
Yeah, so like once I hit Paul Westerberg zone, it was all over, you know. It's like everything I felt that I wanted out of writing songs was definitely there with Paul. So P-Wig, Paul Westerberg is God, man. That's how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
So he's the dude for sure.
Is he the one? Yeah. Like if you were to nail the one?
I mean, if you were like to distill, you know, this stuff, like I love Petty, you know, and I love Springsteen and all that, but like Paul has the sense of humor, you know,
absolutely.
To it that I mean,
and he's got a punk rock.
He's got the
sensibility
punk, got the attitude,
as well.
You know,
he's got
like,
the attitude.
So I think if I had to pick a number one, Westerberg would probably be it.
Do we do one more and then we go to break? Is that demanding too much?
No,
one more song and then we'll go to break.
All right, wait.
Yeah.
If there are people listening now or when you're listening to the podcast later.
Yep.
I fucking love this, though.
No, it's great.
I got to tell you. Like,
it's great.
It's so great. Like, hey, you didn't catch this live?
Yeah.
You're listening to it now?
Yeah, that's how it works. It's amazing.
I love it.
Technology.
Hey, check it out
anyway,
later.
If you like what you're hearing, hear Mike Dunn live Saturday night, Will's Pub, with Matt Hires, and near Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And
Volunteer.
And check out Mike Dunn. Is it MikeDunn.co?
.co.
Yep.
MikeDunn.co.
And
we are a company.
You can get his whole album for free, by the way.
That's
so
true.
Go over there.
It's a marketing trick.
It's a marketing trick. And then go buy the fucking vinyl,
buy
you
the
assholes.
Vinyl.
Buy the vinyl. It's very expensive.
Or get a koozie or get a t-shirt.
Get a koozie. Get all the stuff.
Get all the stuff.
All the swag.
Get the
whole thing.
I need some swag. I don't have a single
I'll bring you back.
Ounce of swag.
Exactly.
I'll bring you back on
Saturday.
You
know what you should get? You should get Mike Dunn love handles. Have you seen
I already
this?
Have Mike Dunn love handles.
Have you seen this?
I don't need more of them.
Look at this.
Trying to get rid of Mike Dunn love handles. That is kind of awesome. A little strap.
I've
on
never
the back
heard
of
this love handles thing.
What are we talking about?
So
right
it's literally like a way to hold your phone. It attaches to your phone.
I already want that, by the way.
Brilliant.
I already want that.
It's great for a concert experience.
Describe that
it's
to
like
our listeners.
Yeah, that's like a sticky thing you put on the back of your phone that's like
a
little
finger you can finger
belt.
Your phone.
It's a finger belt
and
you can put
that
on your phone.
Way you,
I don't want anything with the word finger.
It's great for a concert experience.
Yeah,
but like I got this from shows I go to.
Cool.
They had the Love Handles company make a case of them to give out at Riot Fest in Chicago
weekend. That's awesome.
And when you're like in the thick of it at a show, you can have your phone out, but you don't have to worry about dropping it because it's like attached to your hand.
Yeah.
Technology.
It's weird, but it's cool. I think you need Mike Dunn and Company love handles.
Okay.
We might need Odo Radio Show love handles at some point as well.
Okay. This last one is Faith Healer. It's the first song on the record, and we got a video out for
it,
too.
I love this song so much.
Thank you.
I left town when the sun came up. I packed my bags and hit the road. I love you, baby, but I gotta go find this poor fool doesn't know. So many questions I can't define, so many answers I can't hear. I need some time beyond the city lights. Gotta get my heart in gear. Baby, I could make it clear. I wanna love you like a true believer. Wanna cover you and go. Lay your hands on me like a faith healer, and I'm never letting go. I know you tried to do the best you could. I guess I had another plan. Oh, tell me, baby, what can I do? I'm just a solitary man. I never thought that I could lose your heart. I thought I'd watch you growing old. And I should have told you these words from the start, but I guess that's how it goes. Oh, I still gotta let you know. I wanna love you like a true believer. Wanna cover you and go. Lay your hands on me like a faith healer, and I'm never letting go. One day you wake up, oh, it's all over. I used to know you like the back of my hand. Where did the time go? We're getting older. I don't think I'll ever understand. I wanna love you like a true believer. Wanna cover you in gold. Lay your hands on me like a faith healer, and I'm never letting go. This night is burning like a lonely fever. Why does it still feel so cold? Lay your hands on me, I'm your faith healer, and I'm never letting go.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Thank you guys. I can't thank you enough for indulging us with that,
awesome, man.
Like that is truly awesome. Before I let you go, mm-hmm. I'm gonna throw you some rapid fire questions.
Sure.
Lightning round.
Everybody needs to know.
All right.
Cargo pants, yes or no?
No.
Cargo pants, right. No. He's going no.
No.
All right. What about koalas or hedgehogs? What's your pick?
I'm gonna go hedgehog because I've seen a picture of a wet koala and it's
they're scary. They're
it's
scary.
Frightening. It's
all
frightening.
Right. I like where you're going.
No, there's lots of bad koala facts out there. Like they all have diseases.
They're mean.
They all have chlamydia. No, seriously.
Do
chlamydia?
They really? Do they all have chlamydia?
No, every koala has chlamydia.
Oh wow.
They just live with it. They're born with it.
No, just like look at like type into Google right now. Does every koala have
what?
Chlamydia?
I and believe you. Right, we'll,
someone
we'll
in the chat, fact proof. You know,
check them.
Yeah, please, like look it up for us. You can fact check me.
Wait. Is that where chlamydia originated from?
Koalamydia.
Koalamydia.
Oh,
yeah, girl, I got that koalamydia.
One of the last questions. Okay. I got two more. Yeah. I got two more.
Speed round, please.
Have you ever beaten Tetris on a Game Boy?
I don't. Can you?
Can you beat it?
Oh, yeah. My dad beat it. There's a fucking rocket ship that goes off
at the end. Your dad did, you didn't?
No, no, no. I've never done it, but I've seen it happen. There's a rocket ship that goes off at the end when you beat Tetris.
Never heard of this.
You got to get to level 100. Once you get to level 100, you beat the game. 100?
You're a master at that point.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's amazing. Definitely no.
So
but,
definitely
but,
no.
I'm going to save the line, I've never seen the end of Tetris for something.
Yeah,
that's
please.
Kinda,
never.
Yeah.
That's good. You can use that. Take that from me. No, I'll give that to you. That's your gift.
That's what you get from Ono Showcase.
I'll never see the end of you, just like I'll never see the end of Tetris.
Oh, beautiful. We're doing a co-write right now.
Yeah, I like it.
Right. And it's hard to find words that rhyme with Tetris, too. So, yeah.
Oh.
Mattress.
Septis.
Sepsis.
Sepsis.
Okay, yes. These are all
is
great
Is that even
rhymes.
A word?
Yeah, sepsis is.
Sepsis is a word. The first
toxic.
One I had, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, bring it. This
all right,
easy.
Now, okay, then, Cheese Whiz, yes or no?
Oh, yeah.
Cheese was all the day.
It's basically
and what's
like a pub cheese that you can like just
totally.
Squirt.
And
totally. I'm like pro pub cheese, so I just wish that Cheese Whiz would up their game. Like, because I feel like if they put artisan Cheese Whiz out, like if they were like,
yes.
you know, like
they need to do that.
Expand their
they
brand.
Need to do that.
Maybe like do like a chivey thing or like
yeah.
a parmesan.
Yeah.
An Asiago.
It's really only 5% parmesan.
I like where
okay.
Mike's going with this.
Brie.
Cheese container.
I eat brie almost every day.
Oh, a brie cheese whiz?
You fancy, yo.
No, I do. That's the one thing I really love
you
about
treat
being
yourself,
a bachelor.
You treat yourself like
a
cheese?
I eat, basically treat every meal like a charcuterie platter.
I like
I just,
it.
I just, eat all the salamis and all the cheeses all the time.
Me and you, man. We need to have a fucking cheese and cured meats night.
Yeah, that's all I love.
That's all.
Basically my entire diet.
All right, this last one is for the people that are going to be seeing you on okay. tour so they can buy you a drink.
Yep.
What is your favorite beer and what's your favorite whiskey?
Oh, that's cool. I like that. My favorite beer, I'm kind of just into cheap beer, honestly. But if I go, I will probably Salud. Do a Tecate.
Oh, yeah. We like a good Tecate
yeah,
over here.
With a lime.
Tecate,
like,
man.
Yes, sir.
Tecate is usually it counts on the cheaper end,
mm-hmm.
but it's a pretty tasty beer. Like
oh,
I
yeah,
like
sure.
I like some of the Mexican cervezas,
yeah,
my friend.
A Mexican cerveza.
It's good poolside.
I'm mm-hmm. mostly I'm kind of a Mexican drinker. I
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I like lots of limes.
That
you do the tequila
beer.
El
Will's,
Sully.
The El Sully is
yeah.
so good.
El Sully's very good. Yeah, so I like
and
Mexican
then,
stuff.
And then favorite whiskey.
So whiskey. That whiskey would be more of a sipping thing. I hate when people buy me shots of
yeah,
whiskey.
I'm not a big shot guy.
Well, since it's getting a little cooler, my favorite is a Scotch, which is the whiskey. It's an
mm-hmm.
umbrella Venn diagram
mm-hmm.
here. It's by Compass Bock. It's called the Peat Monster. And it's
Ooh.
A it's like a very smoky. It's like this one of the smokiest whiskeys.
Interesting. Ooh. Never had it's, it. Sounds
delicious.
Great.
It's
yeah.
really
sounds
good.
Great.
So
smoky
yeah,
whiskey
I'd
sounds good.
I'd say like a smoky thing on the rocks. There's also one called Campfire that I like a lot too. I like a smoky Scotch whiskey.
Awesome, yeah. guys. Can't thank first off. Can't thank Mike enough for coming
yeah,
in.
Man.
Mike
Thanks
Dunn,
so much.
Everybody,
oh, it was a pleasure.
Go see him on Saturday at Will's Pub. Do you know what time the doors open for that?
I think
11 a.m.
I think 8.
8.
Mike will be
yeah.
serving
doors
brunch.
At 8.
Find out all the details. I'm sure they're up yeah. on
willspub.org.
Willspub.org.
Get those tickets.
Definitely see him on tour when he's out there doing his mm-hmm. thing. Go to his website, mikedunn.co. Get his album for free and buy a vinyl or some merch. And with that, I say we take a little break.
Yeah.
Again, Mike, thanks so much.
Thanks,
fam.
And guys, those of you listening live, we'll be back in just a few minutes. And I'm going to play some local Orlando music on break. Maybe even throw in some
Home
of
grown.
That Mike Dunn.
Homegrown. Homegrown.
Homegrown. Okay. Homegrown. 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 We learned our lesson tonight.
And gentlemen, I'd like to just reiterate how badly you guys fucked up last night.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
done with that.
Make sure
we've already
that
been shamed enough.
When Bird Cloud comes back and they will be playing Will's Pub next time, mm-hmm. When they come back, make sure you don't repeat your mistake. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
We would
fair
never.
Enough.
We would never.
We would never make the same fool out of me once. Mm-hmm. Shame on
something happens
you.
To me twice.
Two things that happen.
Fool, out
fool
of me
on.
Once.
you.
You got it. That's it. And
all right. Guys, this is some Panther Camp.
And those listening,
we talked about it a little bit earlier.
Those listening, stick around. We got the Ono Radio Show coming up.
Yeah, we got the real Ono Radio
Show. Your regularly scheduled program.
Exactly. We'll see you in a few minutes, 10 to 15. I've got to pee like a racehorse, so we're getting out of here. Be right back. We love you.
Fuck your dreams.
Let's jump without a